Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Yep.
Here's John Williams.
Got a few of them today. Mm-hmm. That way, if I come up short tomorrow and the next day, they'll go, yeah, but on Tuesday he was doing good. It's 108.
Lord have mercy.
And we're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Wish you were here. Come by. Wave to us in the bubble window, and we'll wave right back. That's a pledge for me, your friend John Williams, on WGN Radio. I'm here until 3 o'clock in the afternoons. That's weekdays 1 to 3. And you can also hear this show or a version of it with me and company, and that'll be from 10 a.m. till noon on Saturdays. I'm King John on Facebook. I'm not King John in the real world. I want to be. I think that would be quicker. Although this whole tyrant thing is not playing well these days. You know, I've been posting on my Facebook page where I'm King John the brackets. We haven't built the brackets yet because every day that I think, okay, now we're set to go, we've got 16 teams. These are the wackiest things that have happened since President Trump announced that he was going to be a candidate. From the escalator ride forward, we've been looking for 16 teams. And every time I think I've got the 1 through 4 seeds in each of the 4 regionals, then something crazy happens, like the Time magazine cover thing, or in this case, the Boy Scout of America speech. So the BSA speech at the Jamboree yesterday is probably a 2 seed in one of the regionals. You've got the escalator ride. You've got Covfefe. You've got the Abe handshake. Actually, we took all of the handshakes from Mrs. Macron to Mr. Macron to Mr. Abe to just all of the handshakes. And we've sort of just said the handshakes. Boy, how does that thing not win? Then you've got the fake Time magazine cover, the inauguration crowd controversy. Sean Spicer, we're going to miss you. The Obama wiretapped story, the taco salad that he posed in front of for Cinco de Mayo, Mexicans love me. Remember the letter when he announced that he was going to run and he had his doctor? Remember the doctor letter that said he'll be the healthiest president in history? You see, I'm not looking for controversial things, or especially good things or especially bad things. I'm looking for things that are just like, holy cow, what? Those sorts of things. These are cuckoo Trump brackets. But I think the Boy Scout of America speech is probably in the top 4 or 5 of those. If it's in the top 4, that makes it a 1 seed for each of the 4 regionals. Maybe it's in the 5th through 8th and it's a 2 seed. But boy, that's got to be up there. If you didn't hear it, you've certainly been hearing about it. We have the luxury here on the midday show to play some of the clips a little longer than maybe Steve Cochran did earlier this morning. We sat down today and listened to the 38-minute speech, and we said, well, let's just sort of cut out the stuff that made sense and then cut out the stuff that was crazy, and we'll know what we've got here. And it turns out it all was crazy. In fact, woven into some of the stuff that was trying to make sense was some of the craziest stuff. So we said, all right, 38 minutes, we whittled it down to 36. We'll start with the Trump Jamboree, and this is how he introduced himself to the crowd.
Boy, you have a lot of people here. The press will say it's about 200 people. It looks like about 45,000 people. You set a record today. You set a record. That's a great honor, believe me. Tonight, we put aside all of the policy fights in Washington, D.C. you've been hearing about with the fake news and all of that. We're going to put that aside. And instead, we're going to talk about success, about how all of you amazing young scouts can achieve your dreams, what to think of, what I've been thinking about. You want to achieve your dreams? I said, who the hell wants to speak about politics when I'm in front of the Boy Scouts, right?
And then he spent about 30 minutes talking about politics. A couple of things are noteworthy about that. One is the crowd and the din of the roar. I'm still perplexed by that. If you know somebody that was at the Jamboree, We're trying to talk to some scouts, their moms, their dads, any of the adults that were there. I don't know that I want to talk to a 13-year-old. I'd probably prefer to talk to a 33-year-old, but I want to talk to somebody that was there and tell me what that was like from your perspective. And what do you make of the fallout? For that matter, if you weren't, but you've been a scout, what do you make of this story? What was that, Steve Bertrand? Were you talking to me?
No, I was not. I was talking to your producer. I hit your button.
It's okay. So I really like to know what scouts or scout parents think about this speech and the fact that, I'm sorry, this happens when Barack Obama's president or Bill Clinton's president or George Bush is president. They'll put a bunch of average Americans or scouts or teachers or firefighters behind them and use them as a backdrop. And I don't know that everybody in the backdrop necessarily endorses the speech that's being given. And if the speech goes bad, it makes those people look even curiouser. But then when they start to roar, when they're cheering on some of these weird things that the president is saying, you wonder, what were you all listening to the same speech we were? Because here at home, it didn't make any sense to us. The last thing we would have done is roar. I don't know that the Boy Scouts are necessarily pro-Trump or anti-Hillary or vice versa. I don't know that they're Republicans or Democrats. I know that they have conservative values, but I don't know that they're all pro-Trump out there. So what was the deal with the roar? And was there ever any pushback? I don't know. Actually, Elif, let's play track two. This is cut two. This is Trump again at the Jamboree.
The scouts believe in putting America first. You know, I go to Washington and I see all these politicians and I see the swamp and it's not a good place. In fact, today I said we ought to change it from the word swamp to the word cesspool or perhaps to the word sewer, but it's not good. Not good.
The crowd cheered at length. There were times we've edited this just because we don't want to sit there and listen to the crowd roar for 30 seconds. But I'll just tell you, there were times where there was 40 seconds of unabated cheering, roaring, and then chanting USA, USA. I mean, it was really a campaign style stop from the crowd's perspective for the president. This is track eight, Elif. Let's skip over to Trump talking about, among other things, why not, the election maps.
Do you remember that famous night on television, November 8th, where they said, these dishonest people, there is no path to victory for Donald Trump. They forgot about the forgotten people. By the way, they're not forgetting about the forgotten people anymore. They're going crazy trying to figure it out. But I told them, far too late. It's far too late. But do you remember that incredible night with the maps? And the Republicans are red, and the Democrats are blue, and that map was so red, it was unbelievable, and they didn't know what to say.
In fact, let's just skip to track seven for a second here. This is the president mentioning, among other things, speaking of the election. So he beats Hillary, the map was solid red, and then he reminds them that his predecessor, Barack Obama, had never attended one of their jamborees before.
By the way, just a question. Did President Obama ever come to a jamboree?
So you hear that, and then they booed and jeered for 15 seconds. Do that. It's a long time. And again, I'm not sure that that's... Maybe Boy Scouts don't like Barack Obama and boo him. And maybe all Boy Scouts love Donald Trump and cheer him. But I think what was happening was just a crowd phenomenon. You knew that everybody was going to boo the mention of Hillary or Barack, so you all went boo. And you knew they was going to cheer all the Make America Great stuff, and so we all cheer. And you sort of get caught up in that loop without even thinking about what you're cheering or booing. That's me being as generous as I can, but I think I'm on to something there. And then the famous part where he just kind of goes on a little tangent, but I don't think it was a tangent. I believe this is actually part of the speech. He weaves his own remarks in. In fact, if you listen to the speech in its entirety, what you come away with is that it was sloppy. that it was just sloppy. It wasn't especially well written, and it wasn't at all well executed, because when he meanders, whatever messaging there was in there for the scouts gets completely lost, and when he tries to blend it, it just comes off as bizarre. And here's Exhibit A for that. This is maybe what he was trying to deliver to the kids, and it's some message at the very end, if you hang in there, that he tries to deliver, and it's about momentum.
There was a man named William Levitt, Levittown. You have some here, you have some in different states. Anybody ever hear of Levittown? And he was a very successful man, became unbelievable. He was a home builder, became an unbelievable success. And he'd build homes, and at night he'd go to these major sites with teams of people, and he'd scour the sites for nails and sawdust and small pieces of wood. And they'd clean the site so when the workers came in the next morning, the sites would be spotless and clean. And he did this for 20 years, and then he was offered a lot of money for his company. And he sold his company for a tremendous amount of money. And he went out and bought a big yacht. And he had a very interesting life. I won't go any more than that because you're Boy Scouts, so I'm not going to tell you what he did. Should I tell you? Should I tell you? Oh, you're Boy Scouts, but you know life. You know life. So, look at you. Who would think this is the Boy Scouts, right? So he had a very, very interesting life. And the company that bought his company was a big conglomerate. And they didn't know anything about building homes. And they didn't know anything about picking up the nails and the sawdust and selling it and the scraps of wood. And after about a 10-year period, they were losing a lot with it. It didn't mean anything to them, and they couldn't sell it. So they called William Levitt up, and they said, would you like to buy back your company? And he said, yes, I would. He so badly wanted. He got bored with this life of yachts and sailing and all of the things he did in the south of France and other places. You won't get bored, right? You know, truthfully, your workers, you'll get bored too, believe me. Of course, having a few good years like that isn't so bad. But what happened is he bought back his company, and he bought back a lot of empty land, and he worked hard on getting it zoning, and he worked hard on starting to develop. And in the end, he failed, and he failed badly, lost all of his money. He went personally bankrupt, and he was now much older. And I saw him at a cocktail party. And it was very sad because the hottest people in New York were at this party. It was the party of Steve Ross. Steve Ross, who was one of the great people he came up and discovered, really founded Time Warner. And he was a great guy. He had a lot of successful people at the party. And I was doing well, so I got invited to the party. I was very young. And I see sitting in the corner was a little old man who was all by himself. Nobody was talking to him. I immediately recognized that that man was the once great William Levitt. And I immediately went over. I wanted to talk to him more than the Hollywood show business communications people. And I said, Mr. Levitt, I'm Donald Trump. He said, I know. Said, Mr. Levitt, how are you doing? He goes, not well. And I said, what exactly happened? And he said, Donald, I lost my momentum. A word you never hear when you're talking about success. He lost his momentum, meaning he took this period of time off, long years. And then when he got back, he didn't have that same momentum. In life, I always tell this to people, you have to know whether or not you continue to have the momentum. And if you don't have it, that's okay.
But if you don't have it, that's okay too. So that was the president's, that was the main message of his speech. A couple of things stand out there. One is it's clear that what really impresses the current president and what he was impressing upon the kids is that it's important to make a lot of money. Making a lot of money is exciting. It's important. It's a measure of success. You also get the feeling that Donald Trump loves being with important people at a party. I love when he said, I came up to him and I said, I'm Donald Trump. And he said, I know. But there was also, I don't know exactly what he was doing there, but when he said, should I tell you, there was a leer to that. It struck me as that there was a little sexual innuendo to that, like it's a dirty joke. Should I tell you, you're Boy Scouts, you know about life, huh? Look at these kids, huh? I don't know what he was referring to. I'm at a loss for that. I don't know what the story is that he's referencing or even what he's suggesting there, but clearly he was playing to that. And I wonder how the parents and scouts felt about that. But the message is don't lose your momentum. I guess don't lose your momentum. But if you do, that's okay too, said the president. Okay, my number is 312-981-7200. I'm interested in what your reaction to the speech was. And I'm also interested if you know somebody that was there. Hook us up. I want to talk to these people and see what it was like in real time to them. I still don't know why the scouts were cheering. I still don't know why they were roaring. A couple of phone lines here. This is Susan. You're on WGN. Go ahead, Susan.
Yes, I'm the mother of an Eagle Scout. My son is an adult now. And I'm imagining that all the people who were at the Jamboree are still there. So you may not hear from a lot of them because they're still there. Also, I'm a U.S. Army veteran. And all I can say about what I heard concerning Jamboree yesterday was totally inappropriate. And I would have recommended that Donald Trump would have consulted with the Boy Scouts of America handbook, and he would have found out what being a scout is all about, and about service, about reverence, and that he would have tailored his speech. I would have hoped he would have tailored his speech according to the Boy Scouts of America handbook and their oath.
I know presidents don't have time to write all their speeches. Usually somebody else does, and I would imagine especially one like this that wasn't a major policy speech, you know, that he could have handed this off to somebody. Who wrote this speech? Who thought this was a good idea? This is terrible.
So, well, something should be sacred. And Boy Scouts, you know, is an organization that I think that the speech could have been more appropriate.
Thanks for the phone call, and I agree. I don't know that Scouts get all the credit they deserve. Their leadership has mired them in some controversy. At the end of the day, a buddy of mine I went to school with, his son's an Eagle Scout. All I see when I see an Eagle Scout, the only thing I see, because it's the first thing I know about him, is, that kid's an Eagle Scout. You don't know anything about him. Now you know this, that they really worked long and hard at something. It wasn't easy to do, and they were all things that we thought would make them a good citizen and a good person. How can you not support that? How can you not champion that? And then to take that and use that as a backdrop for a bizarre, mean-spirited speech that is not fact-filled and make it a campaign stop is appalling. This is Dave. You're on WGN. Hi, Dave.
Morning or afternoon. Sorry. You know, I am just basically embarrassed for the Scouts. I mean, it's been 47 years since I was an Eagle Scout, and nothing about this person. I mean, I respect the, position, but not the current occupant.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, whoever was in charge to allow him to speak, that person's really got to look in, you know, getting out of Scouts himself. I mean, it's, I don't know if they were forced to have him at the event, but, you know, I've tried to listen to it, and it was just, I don't know, it has been in it for so long, it's just the most disgusting thing that how he just, you know, I don't even understand your comment. I mean, the basis of why they would cheer, unless they were being prompted to cheer about.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. I want to correct you on one thing, though, Dave. Thanks for the call, and then I've got another call I'm going to run to, so thanks for joining us. The president is the honorary president of the Scouts. All presidents are invited to speak, and usually they do. I don't know why Barack Obama hadn't attended before. I know one time there was a scheduling issue. I don't know, but Barack Obama never attended. But the president is a logical guest because he's the, I mean, why wouldn't you want the president? Wouldn't you want George Bush, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, George Bush, Ronald Reagan? Wouldn't you want him to speak at your president, at your thing? Sure you would. And maybe they could have not invited him. I don't know how conspicuous his absence would have been. It sure would have been a roll of the dice and it backfired on them. But it's not like it was out of the blue. There was a reason for it. He's their honorary chair. Rhonda, you're on WGN. What did you want to say, Rhonda?
Hello. I guess my comment is, I as you know, I watched the video last night, and I have three scouts there and my husband. And in watching the video last night, it looked like he would read the prompter. And when he would read the prompter, he sounded good. Yeah. You know, for Donald Trump, he sounded good. He would look to the left. He would look to the right. And then he would veer off and look forward and tell you these crazy stories. And it kind of reminded me like a crazy old grandpa, you know. They were off the wall and inappropriate and, you know, mixing politics with these children that don't need that. That's not what they're there for. And it was very disappointing.
Have you talked to your husband about it, and what did they say?
He didn't have much to say about it. He wasn't happy about it. And I actually talked to my girls about it. And one of my daughters sat and would not stand to show respect for him. I did ask him not to boo. I said, be respectful. He's not respectful, but please be respectful. But the way he acted, I'm almost sorry I did tell them that. So, unfortunate, really unfortunate.
Yeah, you're right about that. Thanks for the call. My best to your family. Hey, you got three scouts there. You're doing something right, Rhonda. I appreciate you joining us. John, once again, the embarrassment in chief strikes.
We have this plan to go to the hottest place on earth.
I don't know where that's coming from. Once again, the embarrassment in chief strikes again. John, nothing about the values of Boy Scouts was mentioned. John, I would pull my kids out of Scouts. I'm King John on Facebook. Thank you, Steve Bertrand. It sounded like you weren't done there. Are you done there?
You know, I am. I'm just trying to listen to both of us at the same time here. And they just were running through the list of affirmative votes in the Senate. And it sounds as if the measure is going to pass.
They need 60?
It was very close. No, I think they need
51.
Just to open up the debate. And looking like it's going to be pretty close if it did not go. I couldn't count them and talk at the same time.
Yeah, but pardon me.
We should know in a couple of minutes here that whether or not this will be reopened now. And what happens is they will now reopen to consider the House plan. Now, that's what they're voting on. They will likely change the House plan altogether. They could completely replace it, but this will keep the debate going and keep the momentum alive for the Republicans who want to replace Obamacare.
Okay, but an affirmative vote here is not the passage of the bill itself.
The affirmative vote here is to consider the House vote. So if they had voted not to consider the House vote, it would have been dead. Now that they vote to consider it, if indeed that is what ends up happening here, that keeps it open, and that will allow them to debate the House vote, to change the House vote, to approve something on their own that would eventually go to conference and
to change the House bill. Yeah, right.
I'm sorry, House bill, yes.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, okay, fair enough. I'm not that optimistic about that since they couldn't pass their own version and they didn't like the House version. I'm a little, I would not be too optimistic about the Senate's chances with the House bill, but I guess it keeps the ball in play, huh?
It keeps the ball in play, and it doesn't kill it. This may well have been dead had this gone down today. It will stay alive, and Senate Republicans are hoping for another plan. Live to work on that, to continue it, to consider more amendments on it.
Yeah, sure. Okay. And John McCain voted in the affirmative, do you know?
He had said he was going to vote in the affirmative if he could offer debates, and it's my understanding that he did, John, but I just haven't seen the total vote tally just yet.
You see the president's tweet. It's kind of ironic. Now he loves this hero. He didn't like the heroes that got captured, but he does like the ones that get off their deathbed to vote in favor of something that he wants. So far, thumbs up for John McCain. And we'll keep you posted on how that story goes. Keep going, Steve.
Yeah. Can we drop in on ABC here?
Yeah, go ahead.
What they're going for here. But they need that vote from John McCain.
It looks as if they're waiting for John McCain to be brought onto the floor of the Senate to cast the vote.
Oh, no kidding. Really? He's not sitting there on the floor.
Apparently not.
So you're hearing another senator, Jeff Flake, also an Arizona senator with John McCain. But right now there's also questions about what they're going to move towards next, whether it's going to be a vote on repeal and replace, a vote on repeal only. There's just a lot of big questions coming up in the coming days for Senate Republicans as they're trying to push forward a health care plan.
Okay, so there that is, John. I'll continue to monitor that. It looks as if they're waiting for John McCain to come in and vote, and that may well be the deciding vote. Senator McConnell, as I think I said a few minutes ago, has set aside 15 minutes after this vote for Senator McCain to address the chamber.
Really?
Yeah, he was diagnosed with a brain tumor not too long ago.
Sure.
And this may well be certainly a poignant address from the senator. Hopefully not a farewell address, but certainly the first since his diagnosis.
You remember that when he questioned Comey in the Senate hearing, a lot of people wondered what he was talking about. He didn't seem to make sense. And as the, I believe it was the former FBI director was trying to fathom his question, then he sort of got a little angry. He didn't get angry, but it seemed like John McCain didn't appreciate that they didn't appreciate what he was trying to say. I don't think any of us understood exactly what he was trying to do. Then a few weeks later, we discovered that he has this tumor. I wonder if one had anything to do with the other. I sure hope nothing but the best for him, and if we can listen in on that, we will. It's 142. By the way, I said I'm King John on Facebook. I sure hope you like me there. I posted today we will be talking about the President's Boy Scout of America Jamboree speech, and I asked you for comment, and I also let you listen to the speech in its entirety. It's about 38 minutes. We put the link to it there. On Facebook, you're saying this. It is hard to believe that he would stoop that low. I'll just read through the first several of them. Will the American people never wake up and do something about Trump? Pam says it was a disgrace. Ellen says, I listened to it on Rose's show last night. This man does not have a shred of an idea about what is appropriate. Kathy said, it's unconscionable. Kay said, disgusting. Joyce said, it was sickening. Susan said, it was unbelievable. They're in an adjective rundown. Roseanne said, he is not the best speaker when he goes off topic, but I didn't find it disgusting or any of these other adjectives. Randall said, it's absolutely sickening, his ability to lie after lie. It's too much. Rosemary said, I'm looking forward to your show. Barbara said, kind of like a Hitler youth rally. Scott said, he reminded me of Grandpa Simpson. You didn't know where he was going to go next. It's 1:43. Let's pick up a couple of phone lines. And I'm just trying to figure out who is next here. We'll go to line three, and that is Darren. You're on WGN. Hi, Darren.
Ms. Coyne, I'm a Lion Scout leader in the Chicago area, about far south suburbs. And I have two sons that are Tiger Scouts and Bear Scouts. And as you had mentioned earlier, I was talking to my Bear Scout Caleb last night, mentioning how Trump is actually the head of the Boy Scouts, more as a figure than, you know, a practical, you know, head of the Boy Scouts. And to begin with, we're not big Trump supporters, not at all. And my son became very incredulous and upset, and he probably described it better than I could. He said when he heard that Trump was making fun of President Obama, he goes, Barack Obama and George Washington would be much better leaders of the Scouts than Trump if George Washington was still alive. And then he paused for a couple more seconds, and he said, actually, anyone would be a better leader of the Scouts than Trump would be. So there you have it from an actual Scout. So, yeah, we weren't too happy with the message.
Well, keep doing what you do. I was never so disciplined as the Scouts are today. I was a Cub Scout. I was a wolf, a bear, and a Weeblo. Is that the order? And
yeah.
And then when we got to Weeblos, I started to wobble. My Weebles wobbled. And that was the end of my scouting life. But I'm saluting you and those, you know, all the young men and women that are in scouting. I think it's a great thing. I'm a little embarrassed for them today.
Yeah, no, it's great. I'm blessed to be in it. We have a great pack, and my sons and their friends, they're great members. And you know, my son, he has the scout oath and pledge and all memorized, and he knows what loyalty is truly about for scouts, unlike Trump does.
Thanks for the phone call, Darren. You have a good day.
Okay, thank you. You too.
If you just missed it, this is the president talking about Barack Obama, because that makes a lot of sense, at the rally.
By the way, just a question. Did President Obama ever come to a jamboree?
I don't know what that was all about. They went on for about 15 seconds, booing, jeering the name Barack Obama. Maybe they were just mad that Barack Obama didn't come. I don't know that I can't make sense of that. I don't understand that part of it. Catherine, you're on WGN Radio. What did you want to say?
Well, I have a son that is a Life Scout and is attending the Jamboree. And there were a couple things I wanted to point out. My son was there for that speech, and I was completely outraged by it. But I think somebody should point out that the boys, okay, they were given a choice, sort of, to attend that speech. they suspended all activities for the Jamboree, basically for the whole day. They closed it down at 10 in the morning. And scouts that didn't want to go to the speech had a choice of remaining at base camp. They weren't allowed to leave. Now, base camp is not exactly a pleasant part of the Jamboree. So I felt that my son was pressured to attend. I told my son via text that I wanted him to be respectful, but then I regretted it. We are a family that would be negatively affected by a repeal of the Affordable Care Act, and he's stuck in this crowd clapping and cheering for this, for things that will hurt our family.
What is the average age of the kids at the Jamboree, would you say?
Oh, gosh. I know in my son's troop, I think the youngest one was 12, and probably the oldest would be around 17.
Yeah.
Once you hit 14, 15, 16 are probably the bulk of the kids.
Right. So we have a group of middle teenagers who don't vote, and however bright these kids aren't engaged, maybe aren't paying attention to it the way their parents are, the other adults are. And he's whipping them into this sort of rally about things that, you know, to be fair, they probably aren't that studied on. But it sure sounds good coming back to the president when he gets him to boo Obamacare and Barack Obama and cheer Made in America, you know?
Well, and scouts are taught to be respectful. And booing is not considered respectful. And so if they are out there and they don't agree, what are they supposed to do? They're just buried in it, you know? The pressure is on to, you know, put your arm up and yell.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's cool. It's the president of the United States, and he's famous, and he's a hot topic.
Supposed to know something.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that. Very interesting. My best to your family. I'm saluting the scouts today. Linda, I'm glad you called.
Okay, thank you.
Or Catherine, rather. Thank you for the call.
Can I give you an update from Washington now?
This is on the health care. This is on the vote to prolong health care.
The Senate is voting to whether to consider the House bill, which was passed. Not all of the senators have voted. According to ABC News, there are two who have not. One of them is Senator John McCain, who is being brought to the chamber, just returning from Arizona after his diagnosis with a brain tumor there. The other, John, is someone you know well, Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. And in what's significant here is McCain is expected to vote yes. If McCain and Johnson both vote yes, then it would be a 50-50 tie, and the vice president would break that tie. That's the way it looks right now with the preliminary votes. Johnson is seen to have been on the fence, and he has been sort of a thorn in the side to Republican leaders all along here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that he hasn't cast a vote yet.
Well, how did they position these votes, Steve? Is Wisconsin one of the, is it alphabetical?
No, they go alphabetical by, that's a good question. I think it's alphabetical by name, not by state. But you don't always answer on the first call. And then you've got a period of time to vote.
Yeah, because Johnson's neither last, and Wisconsin is not the last state in the union alphabetically. I wonder if that's a way to pressure him, knowing full well he doesn't want to cast in front of the world.
No, just the opposite. He could have easily voted when they called him the first time.
Ah.
He probably didn't respond, so maybe he's indeed pressuring Mitch McConnell to get something out of this.
Okay, here's my bet then in that case. We'll find out in moments. He wants to be the hero. He wants to bring the ball across the goal line with John McCain, so that he'll vote in the affirmative.
So he wants to be with McCain.
He wants to be one of the last votes. We're talking about Senator Ron Johnson right now.
Well, tell people about Johnson because you know him more than the rest of us.
He's a businessman from Wisconsin. I've talked to him many, many times. He would come on my Minneapolis radio show a lot, and was a supporter of Donald Trump, and then at times a reluctant supporter after he got elected. But he was on point.
Pretty firm against the health care bill, though, right?
No, I don't remember that per se.
I think I do.
You do?
Yeah, that he didn't like the way it was being rushed and that he wasn't willing to vote for it.
Well, you're speaking the health care bill after Donald Trump got elected.
Yeah. I mean, within a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, sure. No, my point was that, Steve, I guess I'm not speaking very clearly here, am I? Because I remember him, we would come on, and he was one of those senators who refused to say something bad about Donald Trump as a candidate. Trump became president, and then at first he was with him. So he maintained that line. But then of late, he's been wobbling. So I guess, yeah, to your point, he has been a question mark about supporting the health bill. So he and McCain. Well, I'll tell you what, we need to take a break. If we have either of their votes or speeches, we'll listen in on that in a minute on WGN. Should we chip people out of convenience or for security reasons? A company in Wisconsin is doing that with their employees. We say hi to them after 2. We'll also visit with a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Navy who is on board the USS Gerald Ford, fascinated by that new gigantic aircraft carrier. We'll learn a little bit about that. Last couple of phone calls here. In fact, let's talk to Greg. Hey, Greg, let me see. You are on line 7. You're on WGN.
How are you?
Hi, Greg. This is John. You're on the air. How are you?
I'm good.
So you are...
I'm a busload full of scouts on our way to a whitewater rafting trip here in West Virginia.
Where are you from?
Elmhurst.
So you are a scout leader in Elmhurst?
Yes.
Terrific. How many kids in your troop, and what are their ages, generally speaking?
Well, our Jamboree troop is contingent, and they range from 12 to 17.
You guys having...
There are 36 boys in the troop.
Got it. You guys having a good time?
Oh, we're having a great time.
What?
We're having a great time, right, guys? Yeah.
they're ready to go whitewater rafting.
Yes, they are.
Listen, Greg, I don't know how I got a hold of you or Elif did, but I appreciate you joining us. You were at the speech, I presume, yesterday, and can you just give me a little feedback on what that was like? We're a little perplexed by what we heard on TV and on the radio today.
Well, I think you're probably hearing snippets. I mean, it was a pretty long speech, and he was pretty funny. He was going off his prompter a little bit and making some comments, which I'm sure that's what everyone's talking about. But his main message was about being the future leaders of tomorrow. And the boys really, really got into that. And he really played to his audience. And
yeah.
they seemed to really enjoy it.
A couple of people on my Facebook page said, you know, all criticism aside, because he is getting beat up a little bit about it, if you haven't been paying that much attention. I know you're there, not here. But they said the kids were having fun. It sounded like the boys were having fun. But it also came across on the radio a little, Greg, as being disrespectful. It sounded like they were booing Barack Obama and that he was turning it into a political speech. Can you talk about that at all?
Well, I think we gave the boys a little speech in our troop about trying, you know, this is the president of the United States. He's respecting us and coming and visiting us. Let's respect him, whatever your political views, and let's try not to be political, and let's hope he isn't. And he got a little political. Obama didn't come to our jamborees, and there's a little hurt feelings about that, I think, and they all know it. So that was brought up. Trump brought it up, and it got the boys going. So our boys weren't part of the booing, but I did hear the booing, and I don't think it was right, but it happened.
Huh. Interesting. But, I mean, so that did come from a place. That was the scouts remembering, and they were ticked that Barack Obama had not previously gone, huh?
There was talk of that. They knew. They knew. And there was the ex-ambassadors did a concert here a few nights ago, and they got political telling the boys to give Trump hell.
That's Greg, one of the scout leaders. Thanks for your phone call. We're in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. This is John Williams. Here's a story. Speaking of Wisconsin, Patrick Kramer of the company Digiwell uses the microchip implanted in his hand to open the door lock at a press preview of the Wear It Festival in Berlin earlier this summer. I didn't know they had a Wear It Festival in Berlin, but there is this guy. A Wisconsin technology company is now offering its employees microchip implants that can be used to scan into the building and to purchase food at work. Three Square Market, a company that provides technology for break room and micro markets, has over 50 employees who plan to have the devices implanted between the thumb and forefinger. It takes just seconds to do, and this may be your future. On a phone line is, I'm having trouble reading that name. Is it Todd Westby? Hey, Todd, this is John Williams, and you're on WGN Radio. How are you?
Yes, it is, John. Thank you. Glad to be with you.
CEO of Three Square Markets. So you guys do, it says here, the little micro markets and break rooms and things like that?
Yes, we write software for self-checkouts in the break room markets that you find in office complexes.
So that's what you guys do. So obviously you're technology-based, but you're not making these chips themselves, or are you also doing that?
No, we're not. We get them from our partner over in Sweden, Biohacks, and we write software that basically the RFID chips will communicate to.
RFI, what does that stand for again?
Radio frequency.
And so that
so
puts...
So they're proximity chips, like
right.
A card that you would use to get in a door.
Yeah, right. We use them here at the radio station to get into the parking lot. If you're lucky enough to have parking privileges, you just wave your parking badge there, the gate goes up, you go in. You guys do that sort of thing.
Yes, correct. They're for closed applications that this RFID chip will be used for instances like that, getting indoors or in break room markets, if you want to use it as a credit card form of payment, or for logging into your computer and many other things that use RFID technology.
So it could have value on it and be deducted each time, like you'd have $50 on your chip and it would deduct from your bank account?
Actually, what you can do is it's a serial number that is on the chip. Each chip has a serial number, and that serial number would be assigned to your credit card account.
Okay. So while it's not doing it directly, it's instructing something to do it, but at the end of the day, it's making purchases on credit on your card by waving your hand at the device, huh?
Yes, correct. And what it'll do also with regards to credit cards is eliminate the need to carry them around, which if you lose it, somebody can steal it and use it against you. This literally eliminates, you know, any theft of any credit cards whatsoever.
I wonder what the other options are then. I mean, boy, the mind reels, doesn't it, when you think about all the applications for technology like that?
Yes, it does, and there's development in the works for starting cars. We actually sent out a challenge to Tesla and Eon to see if he's game for helping us start cars. You can also use it to log into your email, log into your phone, log into your phone apps, and literally eliminate passwords for all those different applications you use.
Well, that's you don't know this about me, but I've been championing that application all along, even before I knew guys like you existed or the technology existed. You're actually using the technology, but I've been saying that all along. The great frustration for a lot of us, you know, being able to purchase snacks or get into the door is a great convenience, but the great frustration in America is not knowing usernames and passwords, forgetting them, stuff like that. If I could have that implanted in a chip under my skin, eureka, man, that's the holy grail.
Well, the great thing about it is I'll invite you formally to come up next Tuesday and get one implanted and join us.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. How much is that going to hurt when you guys stick that needle at me?
It's literally just like, you know, any shot that you get from a doctor. There's not a lot of pain there, no blood or anything. It takes about 2 seconds and the process is over.
So, boom, you just like inject it under my skin?
Yes, and if you ever want to remove it, you literally push it out like a sliver, almost like it went in, but you can push behind it. And it's got a point on the end, and it'll come out just like a sliver if you want to remove it just below the skin.
How about that? How about that? so your staff are having this done?
Yes, we presented it to them with the idea, and because we are a technology company, when we first presented it to them, one might think, well, they were like, heck no, no way. They were all open to the concept, and then we took a vote to see how many people might be interested in it and are they game on doing it. And we had a little over 50 people sign up for it, but what we didn't expect was this literally went viral at 9:30 on Sunday, and by Monday morning, we had every single national news and TV station and morning show, and it was just crazy the next morning until today. It's still going crazy on the internet.
But you're the food vendor company. You're not the – so while you're doing this, I guess the news angle from your perspective is that as a – technology-based company, you guys are doing it, but it's this Swedish firm that would be really reaping the benefits, I guess, huh?
Yes. However, we are the distributor of it exclusively in the United States.
Oh, okay. So then, like, say WGN, where I work, wanted to do that, would they get a bunch of these chips and a pellet gun, and somebody in HR would be assigned to zapping people with it? How would that work at a local company?
You'd probably get in a little trouble for that. However, it might go viral.
Well,
but you would contact us, and we would send a licensed piercer out. We've already had over a dozen companies contact us, and two large hospital firms or medical companies have contacted us regarding doing beta testing with their patients and their staff.
I wonder if you could put medical information there, right? If the doctor said, well, what meds are you on or something like that, or when was the last time you had something done? And we all go, I don't know. Would that information, could that be stored on a chip like that?
Well, this chip, the serial number is the main use on it to assign it for use to different platforms. And then you do have 956 kilobytes of data that you can write to it and store on the chip, which then can be used for other applications like in a hospital.
Yeah, but I'm not exactly sure what you just said. It sounds to me like, okay, the chip in your skin can't do that, but it can access an app that would have that information, which to me is kind of the same thing. I would be able to access, even if that chip doesn't store, I would be able to access that information if I had the chip. Isn't that right?
The chip actually does store data on it. It does have memory. And that's where you could write, like, instead of bumping your phones to pass a business card, you can now actually bump fists and pass information back and forth.
But go back to my...
And you can also do medical information.
Go back, though, to my point a minute ago. Right, so it could store medical records, could it not?
Yes, it can. It can store really anything that you want to write to it, to 956 kilobytes of memory.
Yeah, I don't know how much that is. Is that a lot or not very much?
It's not a whole lot at all, but as time goes on, it'll be able to store more as the future proceeds.
Yeah, no
along
kidding. I have all my phone lines are ringing. Does that surprise you, Todd?
Not really. It's quite an exciting time around here, and quite honestly, like the driverless cars,
yeah.
10 years ago, who
yeah.
would have thunk? Now, literally, we've started the ball rolling with this, and there's been some negative comments, but we've had a lot of positive feedback on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, I'm a champion of this, although I'm fully aware, at least I think I am, of what the downside of this is. And I think some of my listeners have questions about that and comments as well. Give me two more minutes of your time, Todd Westby. He's the CEO of Three Square Market. My number is 312-981-7200. If you're chipped, just put your thumb up to your phone. We'll pick up the lines in a minute. Steve, are you on board? Want to be chipped? Are you ready to go for convenience sake?
Sure.
Okay.
Does it mean I get discounts?
I don't know. Let's ask Todd. Hey, Todd, would there be any monetary advantage to people being chipped like this?
Well, if you use our application, we could probably work a discount into there.
I'm a firm maybe.
He's a scaredy cat.
Catch you up, and I wouldn't be surprised if you have one there, actually.
This says we will need gloves to protect the hand from being scanned or hacked, just like wallets.
No, that's one of the other myths out there, along with the GPS thing. You cannot track it. And if you try to hold a device up to read it, all of the data is encrypted, 256-bit encryption. There's nothing you can read.
And I wouldn't know if you had it unless I happened to know you had it. There's no sense in sawing somebody's arm off. Maybe they don't have it, and if they... But what if I just cut your hand off and I had the chip in your hand then? Wouldn't I be able to use that?
Well, just like the movie Shooter, you'd probably be able to escape your way out of jail if you had to.
Okay, well then there's that. Let's just pick up a quick phone line or two, and then I'll let you go, Todd. We'll start with, hold on a second here. I think I've got, is he locked in, Elif? Yeah, I think he is. So we can take Katie, or Kate. You're on WGN. Go ahead, Kate.
Hi. This technology sounds great, but in the back of my mind, I keep hearing Big Brother, and I'm wondering can we be assured that this device could not be used for tracking our location or where we go, what we do?
That's a great question. What about that?
Yes, it is. This device has no power in it, meaning it's a passive device that only receives power when you hold it up to an RFID reader. There's no GPS enabled device in it whatsoever. It is only an RFID chip.
Okay.
So there's no tracking whatsoever.
But yet, I mean, don't you, let's face it, that's a bridge we're going to have to cross at some point, right, Todd?
Yes, the military already does that right now for tactical reasons. It's sort of like the one that's used in the animals today. Those do have GPS in it, but I would imagine in the future you'll be able to choose between A, B, or C if you really want to.
Kate, good question. Thanks for the call. Paul, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Yes, I wondered if there's any way that somebody could have an RFID reader in their palm when they shake your hand and copy out your code.
Well, remember when or if somebody does ever read any data or try to read it on the card, it is all encrypted. So literally, it's impossible to read it because unless you have the system keys to that, like credit cards, you cannot read the data in it.
Paul, thanks for the phone call. But listen, I you don't need me to keep niggling everything you say. You're my guest here. But Sony thought they couldn't get hacked too, right? I mean, we've all seen these sorts of things that you think would be impervious to somebody hacking in, and stuff gets hacked in. So I'm a little skeptical about all of that.
Well, here's what happened with Sony is they got hacked like a lot of companies do because they have passwords like we're all used to typing in. If you have an RFID chip to log into your computer, you literally can have a 1,000-character password, and good luck trying to hack that is 100% encrypted. So what this does is it protects you from the easy hackings where we're all familiar with, the one recently that got hacked where his name was Password.
This is Jan. You're on WGN. Jan, you've got a question or an observation. What's that?
Yes. I'm part of an Elder Care Alliance group, and we're trying to find out how we can educate the public about personal information, such as the do not resuscitate, power of attorney. Let's say someone goes into the hospital and they're unconscious. They don't, nobody can even ask them who they are.
Yeah.
Do you see something like this for the future? I'm sitting here listening to you and I'm thinking, that's not half bad.
I think it's a fascinating question. Hold on a second. We're out of time, but I want to get his response. Thank you, Jan. Go ahead, Todd.
That is why the two hospitals have contacted us already for that reason. They'll basically be able to scan it with their cell phone if they had to, and they'd find out if you're a donor, what medications you're on, your insurance company, do not resuscitate. That's a great question, and yes, you can put this on it. So if they literally want more information, they can go to our website, 3squaremarket.com.
Number 3squaremarket.com. I'm going to call you again, Todd. Good luck to you. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, John. And next week, join our chips and salsa party if you care.
Where are you located? Where are you located, Todd? What town?
We're in River Falls, Wisconsin, basically your old stomping grounds.
Wait a minute. I've lived in Illinois and Minnesota. Are you closer to Minnesota or Illinois? Minnesota.
Well, we're right next to Hudson, Wisconsin.
We're on the border
of Minnesota.
Yeah. Okay. I can just heard Minnesota come through your voice. Thanks for the call, Todd.
You betcha. Thank you, John.
Okay. Bye now. Chips and salsa. He's killing me. All right, lots of calls and comments for our guest just a moment ago. We'll ask him to come back another day. Maybe he could do a chips and salsa party for us here at WGN.
Do they make their own chips? I guess they do.
Yes, that's the point. So that RFI technology that's in the badge that you may have or the fob that you use at work to open the door or gain access to certain areas can be implanted into your skin. And he did say it can remember your passwords. And I'll tell you what, that last lady who called, I'm so glad you did, who said, I work with elderly patients and we'd like to know if there are DNR. We'd like to know what the medicine is they are on. We'd like to know what their will or testament is. You know, what they want to have happen under certain circumstances, but they can't talk. Could that be in the chip? He said, we've already been contacted by two major hospitals for that purpose. Beep. They could hold their phone up to the web in your skin on your hand and go, it says DNR. Or it says, I'm type O positive. I guess they could figure that out anyway. That's pretty cool.
So I was kind of busy earlier, but you're okay with this.
Oh, yeah. I think it's dynamite.
Yeah, I think I am, too.
I think it's dynamite. And anything that's good can be abused. I mean, but
that's part of what makes it so good.
Right. I mean, they wouldn't be abusing it. It wouldn't be popular and abusable if we didn't love it.
Right.
I mean, cars can crash and credit cards can be stolen, but we ain't wanting to give those up. You get me a chip under my hand, the only thing I'll forget now is which hand was the chip on. I'll be using my left, and Brenda will go, John, it's your right. Otherwise, I just want it all there. I want it all there.
No more forgetting your keys in the house.
Totally.
Just give it a touch.
He said he's talking to Tesla. They'll just put your hand up to the car, and the car will start. Boom.
Why not?
Now we have fobs. You don't even have to turn the ignition. Sometimes I've got it in my backpack or something, my fob, and I just set it down there. But then I forget if the fob is in my car or not. And so you sometimes don't know if you, you know, you don't know where the key is sometimes because you don't know where you put it because you didn't have to have it in your hand.
Can't you start the car accidentally that way sometimes too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, that's sometimes how I know if it's in there. I just put my foot on the brake and hit the button and hope that it's somewhere on my person. And if it's not, I know I forgot my key.
So my brother-in-law is in town this week, and he was over for dinner Saturday, though, and his health club wants they do an ID by fingerprint. And he does not like that and doesn't allow it.
Really?
So he's like the curmudgeon there, and he said, I don't care, I'll wait longer, but I'm not going to give you my, because, you know, that's a little different, isn't it? Because you can't change that or take that out. That's part of your, not DNA, but.
Well.
Right, a chip you can take out or change or.
I love
that. If they have your fingerprint, they're always going to have your fingerprint.
Have you gone through any of the new biometric technology at the airports yourself?
I don't, not that I know of.
Yeah, I have, where at least I've seen it. You know, it looks at your eyes and goes boop, and it knows by your retina whether or not you're the person that's on the passport or the airplane ticket. That's pretty amazing, too. It's 2:41. Okay, so I've been talking a little bit, just briefly on the air, and now we get the chance to talk a little bit more on the air about this new USS Gerald R. Ford. The aircraft carrier that the president christened, that's not the exact word, but that the president launched recently. It's not fully activated, but it's in the water. And we had a chance to, just before we went on the air today, visit with Katie Cerizo. She is a public affairs officer, and we spoke to her from the boat.
I'm calling you from aboard the ship.
The ship. Tell me about that. What is most impressive if I were to walk up to or swim up to the USS Gerald Ford? What would I notice? What would I see?
I think you'd see the equivalent of a floating island, and that's because the ship's flight deck is about 5 acres wide and in breadth. It's over 1,092 feet long and over 256 feet wide, so you are literally looking at a small island.
Yeah, so about a football field wide and over 3 football fields long and
20 stories high.
Wow. And then how many people are on that ship?
Well, the ship's crew consists of about 2,628 sailors assigned to us. And, of course, we'll take on more sailors once we get an air wing assigned to us and we have squadrons embarked.
Oh, no kidding. That, I'm sorry, does not include the flyers?
It does not include any embarked squadrons. So we can swell up quite a bit once we get squadrons assigned to us.
And then how many planes and helicopters, how many aircraft are on the ship?
Well, currently none at all because we're still undergoing some tests and evaluations. But it's expected that once we're fully ready to go on deployment, that we can carry about 75 aircraft.
And then water skiing. If I wanted to do that, you have water skis and...
Oh, I'm afraid you won't find any of that on board the ship. Safety is a big concern to us. A lot of our guests ask where the swimming pools are at, and we don't have any swimming pools on board. We do have 5 gyms where sailors can exercise, but the truth is that if you climb up and down the ladder walls, as you noted, we're 20 stories high, so you get quite a workout just going up and down the ladder walls because there are no elevators for humans and there are no escalators.
It's funny because now that you mention it, I think when a lot of us think about being on a big ship, we think about cruise lines. And so our questions are usually like, do I have to tip? When do I make reservations? Can I get into the nicer restaurants?
No, a lot of people, you're right. You're absolutely right there. I think most people, when they think of a ship, they're envisioning a cruise liner. And a Navy warship is much different because we're operational and there's an element of danger involved anytime you do at-sea testing, whether that's just getting underway or whether that's flight deck operations.
How long are they out to sea then? What's a tour?
Well, our underway at-sea periods can vary in length. It all depends on what you're doing. When you go on deployment, deployment lengths typically range anywhere between 6 to 8 months. However, when you're doing workups, which is when a ship gets underway to practice and to make sure that our ships are capable of doing what they need to do independently or as a group, those can vary in length. So a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it all depends on what we're doing.
But then once you set sail, the guys might be out there, gals too, for 6 to 8 months, huh?
For deployments, those tend to be the average length.
Yeah, no kidding. And then can you just give me some of the specs? We talked about the size of it, but tell me a little bit about, I don't know, this electromagnetic static launch system that replaces the old steam-powered launch catapults. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So you brought up the electromagnetic launch system, or EMALS as it's also known, which distinguishes us from the Nimitz class of carrier. The Ford is a first-of-class aircraft carrier, meaning that there's no one else like us, and there's 5 technologies that make us unique. EMALS is one of them. So instead of using steam to catapult our aircraft off the flight deck, what we use is electricity.
It's a nuclear-powered vessel, right?
Yes, sir. All Navy aircraft carriers are nuclear-powered.
I understand that, in fact, the power unit there is sufficient for 50 years.
Yes, sir. That's the idea. The hope is that... you know, we might not even be around when the ship is decommissioned.
Well, so then back to the electromagnetic launch system. So that's electric powered, but there's still like a hook on the bottom of the plane and a big rubber band and it whooshes them forward, right? And if so, how fast does that, what amount of time does that take? How fast do the planes get going before they hit the end of the deck?
So the average aircraft, I've been told, will leave at around 130 knots or 130 knots per hour.
Yeah, what's the knot? You guys always do that, you Navy people. We don't understand knots here in the heartland. So 130 knots, how many miles an hour is that, would you guess?
Just below, I want to say 140 miles per hour.
Okay, so
a knot and a mile are roughly equivalent.
How fast does the ship itself go?
Well, we can go over 30 knots, so over 35 miles per hour.
Hmm.
And if you can imagine moving 85,000 tons of steel, it can be very exciting because most people, when they think of miles per hour, they're thinking of cars and the fact that their cars can go 60 or 70, don't ever do it, but 80 miles per hour. But if you're moving 85,000 tons of steel, going that speed is very exciting for us.
Yeah, no kidding. And through water, which has more drag, obviously, than just the open air on a highway. I mean, that really is an amazing thing now that you mention it.
Yes, sir.
Back to the accommodations for the sailors themselves. So do they get suites?
Well, sir, as you can imagine, although The ship is very big, with over 2,600 sailors on board. Space is at a premium. Every amount of space is carefully planned for. So the type of space that you have will vary based on how junior or how senior you are, and also just based on certain logistics. So you can be anywhere from a 20-man berthing, which is where you have 20 individuals in each space, and they have the heads, the bathrooms, in the same area. And that's a unique feature in that you don't have to put on your bathrobe and put on your flip-flops and then walk several yards to find the toilet, which outside of your living area. It's in the same area. And if you're an officer, chances are that you're sharing a stateroom with between 2 to 6 other officers.
You mentioned that there were 5 sort of unique systems, and the launch system was one. What else are you all especially proud of on this ship?
Well, we have 2 redesigned reactors, and that's pretty much all I can tell you about our reactor plant. In addition to that, we have dual-band radar, advanced weapons elevators, and advanced arresting gear. So those are the technologies that we're especially proud of. But I think when most people think of an aircraft carrier, the first thing they think of is the flight deck. And if you were to compare us side-by-side with the Nimitz class, what they'll notice is that our superstructure is much smaller than the Nimitz class, and the reason for that is to allow for more surface area on the flight deck with which to refuel our aircraft and which to get them off the ship much faster.
Ship costs $13 billion, and there's some controversy about that and all of these things. They're not sure, by the way, that all of the systems are going to work as well as they'd hoped. There were some mechanical problems and operational problems, so they're trying to work some of the bugs out. She said that the average age of a sailor on the flight deck, what would you guess? Because you see these guys doing very complicated, well-choreographed things, different skill levels involved, certainly a level of danger there. The average age on the deck is 24 years old, 24. And she said that there are times where this $13 billion ship will have behind the joystick running it, somebody who is 19 or 20 years old. Wow. That's the latest on that. So thanks to Lieutenant Katie Cerizo, a public Lieutenant Commander Katie Cerizo. She's a public affairs officer in the United States Navy. Joining us from the USS Gerald Ford. It's 2:50 now. This is WGN. Just back from the Boy Scout Jamboree. Rokan is here. Anna DeVlantis, too.
Sure. Sitting around the campfire.
I want to live in a world where that does not solicit a laugh, but there it is.
Oh, man. That was an accident. That was a very happy accident yesterday.
Did you broadcast any of that live? Somebody texted me and they said they heard you guys playing it.
Yeah.
So you were doing it. But you did not have the luxury of knowing what a home run it was going to be.
No.
But you made the call though beforehand. He's like, wait a minute. This there's something that feels
I would not have
strange
guessed
about
that.
This
I
one.
I would not have guessed that would have been him going off the rails.
Well, I started to listen to it during commercial break. And I saw what was happening.
What the hell is going on with politics?
Right. And I thought, oh no. And he was so, you can tell when he's just in a zone, and he was in that zone. And I just thought, okay, well.
Whatever we were doing, we're not going to do that.
Right.
We're going to do this.
We're going to move into this because let's just listen for a little bit. And then the part though, I mean, the thing is that, he's getting a lot of criticism for it being political. To me, he told the story of William Levitt from Levittown in this rambling, bizarre story that he would tell at a Home Builders Association meeting, maybe at a small conference in that, in front of 40,000 16-year-olds.
No.
And the story of William Levitt is one of William Levitt is not one of the great heroes of America for a lot of reasons.
Well, so and it sounded a little like there was some innuendo there where he goes, you scouts want to know, huh? Okay, you like life, and I thought
you know
like,
life, you kids. No, you don't. No, you don't. I mean, that's not what the president should be doing. At least I don't know. But he's not really. He's not your. Not our father's president.
This makes my 16-team wacky Trump moment brackets. It's a
totally.
2-seed. I think it's a 2-seed.
Oh, it's really close. And then we have the president just now in front of the Lebanese.
There's a difference.
Leader. I'm sure that the president had to be briefed.
Which one
on that.
Are you, yeah. The Libyan or the? I know it's an L.
In front of the Lebanese president today had to be. It was pretty incredible that he took out Jeff Sessions, took out his own attorney general again in front of that, and it's the real question is why? I mean, this if he's upset, he can fire him, but he doesn't want to fire him. He just wants to have him dangle first. It's weird.
Is he going to start using the moniker beleaguered Jeff Sessions?
Failing New York Times. Yeah. The other thing too. Now I said this a couple of weeks ago, and he kept talking about what about Hillary? What about this? What about that? And I'm like, well, okay. If that's your problem, why don't you instruct your attorney general to indict her, which he can do.
Yeah.
To investigate it or whatever.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to say he's doing it. I mean, it's really for the people to think that, he's a great, strong leader. I'm not seeing strong. I'm seeing weak bullying tactics here.
Yeah. Time will tell when asked if Attorney General Jeff Sessions will remain in the job. Time will tell.
Well, what about Rexit? Is Tillerson going to be here at the end of the year?
Mm. I'm sticking by my trifecta that by August 1st, he would lose Sean Spicer, which on day one I said after he had to go out there and claim that there were 50 million people in the mall.
August 1st as the over under.
August 1st is the over under. August 1st was going to be Spicer, a major cabinet member.
Okay, that's Tillerson
and Reince Priebus and his chief of staff.
Wow, look
and
at you!
I think we're getting all three.
You're looking
August
pretty
1.
Good. an early Christmas present.
You know what? But I want to say the Atlanta Falcons were looking pretty good about halfway through the fourth quarter at the Super Bowl too, and that didn't really work out.
Here comes the Rokoncho kids with Anna DeVlantis.